Very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your Yarning Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, 20 Trev, Murray from the Curry. Coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. That's BB and Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation, thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. I'd like to take this time to opportunity to acknowledge traditional owners of the land where we broadcast from and to all our traditional owners across this beautiful country of ours. Welcome back, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong, you mob, too deadly. Now let's jump straight into it. Powerhouse Parramatta announces First Nations Residency Program in partnership with the Site Internationale des Arts that's in Paris. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Dr. Brooke Garou-Andrew, Powerhouse Artistic Associate, Widgery Artist and Writer and Curator. On the line, Dr. Brooke, very good morning. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, Dr. Brooke, let the mob know who your mob, where you from.
Oh, you can just call me Brooke.
Okay, you are a doctor. I'll give you that professional
doctor,
yes statement, but thank you. Thanks, Brooke. Who are you, mob? Where are you from, brother?
Yeah, I'm Wiradjuri, so Western New South Wales.
Beautiful. Thank you very much. Look, so fantastic news. Powerhouse Parramatta announces First Nation Residency Program partnership with Site International des Arts in Paris. So is this the first time this has happened?
Yeah, it's the first time that something's happened like this. For sure, in Paris. I mean, it's, you know, the residency itself has been going for a long time, big international, you know, thing there. But I think this is the first time that, well, it is the first time they've had a collaboration with Indigenous mob.
Sure.
Through an institute, yeah.
And do we have names of artists' work that will be going over to Paris?
Not yet, because it's the first time that they're... you know, they have to apply.
And, okay, that's how it works. Yeah, paint the picture. Tell us the process there, please, Brooke.
Yeah, well, so people apply. It's pretty simple, actually, and straightforward.
Yes.
And it's for any Indigenous mob who happen to live in Australia. So you could be Tongan, you could be, you know, Ainu from Hokkaido up in Japan, or Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander. So
okay.
It's acknowledging the fact that, you know, as... You know, we live here in Australia. And,
multicultural.
You know, lots of mob come here. Yeah.
Exactly.
So it could be like any kind of artist or a writer or a performer. And, it's pretty straightforward. You just apply and just say what you want to do over there.
So I'm hoping I got the pronunciation right. Site Internationale des Arts. Did they approach Powerhouse Parramatta? How does this work?
That's the work that I do internationally and locally. So I've actually had a residency there in the past, and I know that mob, and so I just approached them, and they've never had anything like this with any Indigenous mob around the world, so
good.
It's a first for them, and we're super proud.
It's too deadly. Well, when you talk about First Nation art, especially, well, our mob, it is becoming world-renowned, and when you talk about the First People, any work is powerful in that sense. You know me? First People.
Absolutely. I mean, this is the best thing about it. And because there's two residencies and they overlap for a month, it means that whoever goes first, they'll have the support, you know, with the second person.
Yes.
So there'll be a bit of a lap over. And that's the sort of thing that we really wanted to be solid, you know? The first international Indigenous kind of thing like this, that they have the support and, you know, I know people there, and there's, in fact, as you can imagine, lots of Indigenous mob from the French colonies, from Africa and the Pacific and stuff. So it'd be good for them.
I think it's a double whammy bammy here. One for the, for Powerhouse Parramatta, for yourself and the work that you do, but for the individual artists, getting their work over there, and also puts them on another platform in recognition of their work, and can open up a lot of doors in the business sense as well, yes?
Absolutely, and I think also because it's, well, like it's a good stipend as well, so even if you got, like, got to pay, you know, rent at home, or, you know what I mean, commitments financially, there's a bit of money there so people can actually do that. They don't have to feel too stressed, hopefully.
Sure.
Supporting in that way as well.
But exactly.
Right.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And do the artists have the opportunity of taking their artwork over there and to go over there for the launch, so to speak, or for time of the exhibition as such?
Well, so it's a residency, so you get 3 months, and you're amongst other artists.
Right, yeah, gotcha, yes.
So it's kind of like you got your bed and
part an apartment. You know, you're painting a good picture.
You got an apartment. Yeah, yeah, you got an apartment. Then you got your
good. Okay.
Yeah, literally there.
Okay.
And all and programs with other artists and performance artists, and you don't have to speak French. You know, I mean, if you
yeah, but you come back as a black fella speaking French. Oui, oui. Oui, oui, bala.
Well, we could have been speaking French at one point, hey?
Yeah, beautiful.
British,
look, it's a great opportunity, and congratulations, Brooke, and the work that you've done and create this platform and write for our artists an opportunity. So they have to apply. How do they apply, my friend?
Well, you can go to Instagram or, like, the Powerhouse Museum website.
Okay.
And, yeah, and there's information out there if you just Google, you know, Powerhouse Parramatta residency in Paris, you should be able to find it.
Is there a deadline for when the opportunity closes?
Yeah, I think it's soon, actually.
Is that right?
So check it out.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay, happens now. Open, here we go, till 9 February. There it is, 2023.
A couple of weeks.
Put the application in. Brooke, nice talking with you. Thank you so very much. All the best, and we'll yarn soon.
Okay, take care.
Beautiful yarn there. That's Dr. Brooke Garu-Andrew, Powerhouse Artistic Associate, Widgery artist, writer and curator, and very powerful, Powerhouse Parramatta, who have announced the First Nations residency program in partnership. There's the word, residency. They do go over there, spend time over in Paris, Site International Air, Des Arts, Paris, Murray Sandham, very Frenchy, wee wee. And so that's happening over there. So artists put in the application through the webpage, Powerhouse Parramatta. Do check it out. And you've got until 9th of February to do so. And look, if the iron lights up in regard to the iron you put in the fire, you can go to Paris and residency over there for how long? I don't know exactly, but the fact that you're over there, here we go, between 4th of May to 28th of July, and also, yeah, to 27th of December. So, I don't know, looks like 6-7 months. Come back speaking French. Opportunity there, your mob. So, get involved. Opportunity is knocking on people's door every day. The sad thing is we don't open the door to see the opportunity, or we can't hear the opportunity knocking because we're too busy knocking the opportunity. You know what I'm saying? So, put the application, put the iron on fire, and, yeah, get busy. Wee wee. All right, stay tuned. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Shines down on sacred ground. Tribal men are gathering round that firelight to dance in the moonlight. Singing and dancing, clapping sticks and boomerangs to the didgeridoo sound. Stomping their feet on stomping ground. Corroboree dance through the night. Corroboree dance in the moonlight. Corroboree dance around the firelight. Corroboree dance in the moonlight. Corroboree dance around the firelight. Stop them ground. Stomp 'em ground, 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 stomp 'em ground. Corroboree dance in the moonlight. Corroboree dance around the firelight. Corroboree dance in the moonlight. Corroboree dance around the
yeah, Corroboree Dance. Jason Scott here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong, you mob. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Call that number, yarn up with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. Coming here live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BB and Bumper Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. All right, now respiratory treatment for children in remote areas set to improve. That sounds like very good news. Look, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Donna Franklin, Paediatric Research Fellow, Gold Coast University Hospital Children's Critical Care Research Group. And on the line, Donna, very good morning. How are you, Donna?
Hello, good, thank you.
Good, Donna. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, sounds like very good news. Respiratory treatment for children in remote areas set to improve. How is that happening, please, Donna?
We're putting in place a large study that is going to occur across 18 hospitals in rural remote areas in northern Queensland. So across four hospital and health services, which is the Northwest, Tours and Cape, Cairns and Hinterland, and the Townsville Hospital and Health Services. And what we wanted to do, the study that we're putting in place was conceived out of the desire of a collective group of remote Indigenous mothers. Yes. And it's a result of their community feedback by these parents whose children have been transferred out of these remote settings for care that parents thought could be delivered there locally.
Yeah.
And these are children that arrived to the emergency department and are in respiratory distress. And we're talking about specifically children that are less than five. So the aim of the project is to actually reduce the transfer rate out of these remote settings by at least 50% if we can.
To keeping the children, patients, home in their community, yes? You there? Donna? Oh, I lost Donna. That's Donna Franklin. We'll try and get her back there talking about the respiratory treatment for children in remote areas set to improve. And Donna Franklin is a paediatric research fellow, Gold Coast University Hospital Children's Critical Care Research Group. And she mentioned the fact that a lot of our children are taken out of communities to hospitals in nearby cities to get looked at. But they should be operating from their own community is what I'm picking up there. But we'll try and get it back and continue that yarn. We'll try again with Donna. Donna, are you there? Good morning.
Sorry.
Yeah, lost you there. Sorry, yeah. So what we're saying here is virtually getting the children, the patients, being serviced in their own community is what I'm picking up, yeah? Lovely.
Yes, that's exactly right. These children have, in these areas, have had a transfer rate of 30 to 50% for them travelling from their remote area to Cairns or Townsville, for instance. And in southeast Queensland, where we performed similar studies, they're at about 9 to 12% transfer rate. So there's absolutely no reason we can't do the same thing for these children and their families.
Taking the mountain to the people, virtually. And
exactly.
Yeah, exactly. And we're talking about improving the service for our children in respiratory treatment. And look, it's fundamentals in regard to looking after a human being's health, especially our children.
Yes, absolutely. I'm not sure if I caught this before the phone dropped out, but this has come from one of the local mothers in Napa.
Yes.
And she spoke to Sally West, who's a local research nurse and clinical nurse in Weeper Hospital, who's basically how this whole thing started. Sally contacted us back in 2018 in Brisbane, saying, you know, you've just done this large study back then on bronchiolitis infants. Can you help me? I want to do my PhD and put it up here. So we've actually, for the last couple of years, already had a smaller pilot project in place in Thursday Island, Cooktown and Weeper. And Sally West and I have been collecting all the data, and so we should have the results of that in the next 6 to 10 months. But at the same time, we said, well, we need to go bigger. Why can't we help these children more and make it broader? So we're now going to Mornington Island, Cloncurry, Doomadgee, Bamaga and Atherton through that area as well. So we're really expanding it. And if it is successful, which we absolutely hope that it is, there's no reason it can't be taken across the whole country.
It's templated across the country, exactly. Area. Well, congratulations to Sally and hats off to Sally and with you at the table as well. There's a team effort there. And by speaking up from grassroots, here it is, actions is happening.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And, we went to Weeper last week to actually speak to these mothers. And, you can see another one of the mums there, Lily York, her daughter, Genovia, who was a little 7 months old, but she's been transferred out of Weeper four times in her little 6 months life. And it's just ridiculous. And the stress on poor Lily, the mum, is just phenomenal. And, she's taken away from her family and what she knows. And what really hit home to me last week when she spoke to us is that she actually doesn't go anywhere now. She's too scared
to
go anywhere there, but the shops or her dad's place will stay home.
Exactly.
And this has impacted on your life horrendously. And
well, the mental sense as well as the respiratory sense.
Absolutely.
You know?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just as it is, you're already a mum. You're a young mum who's got a sick child. You're stressed about that, but you take them away from your support network and it's tripled the stress rate for you.
Donna, we live in the 21st century, and this is a first world country. You know what I mean?
Oh,
and some of our treatment for our people in communities is third world treatment.
I totally, totally agree with you there. And, you know, we need to bring health equity to these people here very fast. We need to,
exactly.
to make a change with this. You know, for Indigenous children, they're 3 to 4 more times likely to present to the emergency department.
Talk about closing gaps, Donna.
Children. Sorry?
Talk about closing gaps.
Oh, goodness, yes.
Hello.
So, you know, that's a huge... Can you hear me?
Yes, yes,
hello?
I can, yes. Feeling you too.
Yeah, sorry. That's a massive amount that we need to change that gap and narrow it way down. The reason for that is, you know, obviously the difference is, you know, underlying maybe genetic factors or socioeconomic reasons, maybe the housing or the conditions. Or often it can be smoking exposure or overcrowded houses, but... you know, we can absolutely change this and help these families
exactly.
and children much more. And just as you said, like in it's like a third world country in that respect. You know, compared to African countries, there's about 9 to 12% mortality in children in general African countries, with some of these regions up to 25%.
Yeah.
In our children that are Indigenous in our country, it's 10 times more likely that they would die of this acute respiratory failure compared to non-Indigenous, which is less than 1%. So
Donna, there's the comparison, and it's pathetic.
Yes, yep.
Exactly.
So we're starting with 18 hospitals. We're so excited. The people are beautiful.
And
like I say, it's Sally West and myself and Andrea Shivler. We're, you know, working together with some of the teams up there.
Beautiful.
In Atherton, we've got Neil Archer, who's great, one of the local clinicians, a pediatrician. So we're working with him to make sure we're doing things that work right for a rural, remote setting.
Yes.
Because not everything in those healthcare settings is exactly the same as a big urban city. So, you know, we have to make sure we've got goalposts or gatekeepers.
Exactly.
That, you know, they check in maybe a bit more regularly to make sure that they can provide the care that they need to.
So, Donna, let's talk the finance side of things. Is government putting money towards this in regarding funding?
You know, you always want more funding.
Yes.
Research, but we were very fortunate and got a $1.7 million national grant fund from the medical research.
Which is a drop in the ocean, but it's a start.
Exactly. It's a start because it's 18 hospitals, but, you know, we do need more because you need people on the ground.
Exactly.
And it's so far and wide between them that we need these nurse champions on the ground that, you know, Sally and I will teach and get them up to scratch. And, you know, another, you know, problem of these areas is, you know, people will know only too well is that, you know, you have a huge transient nursing staff, so they move through these areas. So you really want to capture those permanent nurses so that we can talk to and make them champions. Because children, these sort of children that arrive in their emergency departments in respiratory distress, you know, they're working very hard and it's very stressful. So most of the nurses are used to adults, and, you know, these children, there's only about, some of the sites, there's only 50 of these a year that walk through their emergency doors. So it's a bit scary for them. So we want to take that scare factor out.
Exactly.
And, you know, make it a bit more simple and how they can help them.
Well, you've got calmer patients, calmer mind, calmer heart, calmer spirit, you know what I mean? It helps in regard to the treatment, doesn't it?
You're absolutely right. And with regards to the treatment, you know, what we've found with, over the last decade, we've been running the largest clinical trials in the world on, firstly, it was bronchiolitis infants less than 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
And this last one that we've just published a big paper this week in one of the world's leading medical journals, and it was looking at the children less than 5 years of age that have an acute respiratory illness. And what we found is, you know, and this is what we're going to put into place with Paris on Country, is where you can start a child on standard oxygen therapy. So most people will be familiar with just your basic cannula you put in your nose and your nares. And then if they get sicker, we can escalate that to high-flow therapy. And a lot of people might be familiar with that from COVID days. You've seen it on the news around the world that people have that. And it's just a higher flow that the children are receiving. But as you said before, it's about calmness. So that can obviously...
Exactly.
Stress people,
exactly.
So it's about being calm.
Anxiety, what have you?
Introduce Introducing it to the child.
Donna, thank you for your yarn. Very important, and congratulations there. Yeah. Big shout out to the team, especially Sally. Let's look, the money's at the table to start. But please do keep in touch and we can keep this conversation strong, sister.
Oh, I appreciate that. That'd be wonderful. Thanks so much.
Donna, thank you. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. A deadly yarn there, Donna Franklin, Pediatric Research Fellows, Gold Coast University Hospital, Children's Critical Care Research Group, and big shout out to Sally, mother there from the top end, and respiratory treatment for children in remote areas set to improve, and taking the mountain to the people, bringing the nurses, doctors, what have you, the medical staff to the people instead of flying the children out to towns like Cairns and Townsville, for example. A lot of work to be done there. Have you saying yarn up strong here? National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Grandmother sings sweet tune. Piano, accordion, guitars in tune. Sounds of someone playing spoon. Oh, I go back, yeah, I go back. Oh, I go back, yeah, I go back. In time, in time, in time.
Yeah, beautiful voice of Aunty Ruby Hunter. That's Kurunga Boy here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong. Deadly number here is 1-800-422-416. Yarn with the bully one here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Coming here live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. As BBM Bumber Bip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your say in Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. A big shout out to the NERS team as well. Thank you very much. Sydney Worldwide Pride 2023. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Ben Dritz, World Pride First Nation Creative Director on the line. Ben, good morning. How are you?
Hi, good, thanks.
Good. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from, Ben.
Yes, hello. So, Ben Gratz. I'm from Malak Malak, up in the Northern Territory, and the Wadja and Coburg, and also have ties to Bardu Island and the Torres Strait.
Beautiful. Daily footprint. Thank you very much. Sydney World Pride 2023 is upon us very soon, so tell us the dates and times and how's it all happening, please.
Yes, so it starts on February the 17th, so under a month.
Yes.
And it goes into the 5th of March. So it's 17 days, goes over 3 weekends.
Mm.
And, yeah, it's very close now, as I said, under a month. So there's lots of excitement around the city here in Sydney on Gadigal country.
All right, beautiful. And when we're talking the Sydney World Pride, how long has this been operating for, my brother?
Yes, yeah, so the World Pride events happen every 2 years in a different part of the world.
Okay.
So it's a little bit like the Olympics.
Okay, there you go. and it's a party celebration, isn't it?
Well, exactly. And we say it's a party with purpose.
There you go. So every 2 years you train for it, don't you?
Yeah, exactly. So we were
train
like,
hard partying.
Exactly.
You're good.
Sydney won to host it, and it's the first time that it's ever taking place in the Southern Hemisphere.
All right, fantastic. It's the first time it's happened in the Southern Hemisphere. You're just saying that. So this is bigger than Ben-Hur, you could say.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, we're expecting a lot of people coming from all over the world and Australia and to come here in Sydney in, over just under a month time to come and celebrate Pride.
And talk about some of the activities that can take place in those 3 weeks, my friend.
Yes, we've got so many events, over 300 events taking place, but we're very proud to be running Mari Marangwukwuk, which is Many Brave Hearts, our First Nations gathering space.
Okay.
And that's taking place at Carriage Works over 6 nights. We also have a Black and Deadly Gala concert at the Opera House happening.
Whoa.
And yeah, I know. Lots of
people will be dressed up there, be some classy outfits.
Well, exactly, looking deadly. And on the very last day, Sunday the 5th, we're closing the Sydney Harbour Bridge and doing a Pride march across the bridge.
No, yeah. Shut your mouth. Closing the bridge. The coat hanger.
Yes.
The coat hanger.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, for us, Bob.
Hanging up the coat hanger. That's fantastic. Yeah. Last time they did was the march, walking on the bridge right for First Nation people.
Well, exactly. So, you know, it hasn't happened like this since the Reconciliation March. So it's going to be an incredible moment. 50,000 people crossing that bridge in solidarity.
Fantastic. So the actual so how long is the bridge closed for and what date is this happening?
Yeah, so that's on March the 5th, and that is I think it's closed from 7 in the morning until around 10 a.m.
Whoa.
So, yeah, it's quite a long time to
close. That's stopping
that.
The city of Sydney.
Exactly, you know, stopping the city for World Pride.
Wait first, we're just going to have a little party celebration here. Okay, continue on with your life now.
Yeah.
Too deadly. That's fantastic. So Sydney World Pride happening 17th of February to 5th of March. And on the 5th of March, that morning, the Sydney Harbour Bridge will be closed for the celebration. So there it is. So a good time to be in Sydney.
Yeah, absolutely. As I said, over 300 events happening.
Yeah.
Head to the website, sydneyworldpride.com, for all of our events. And you'll be able to check out all the deadly kind of black events that we've got on for mob and yeah, it's going to be a special time for us to come together and gather.
Too deadly. Ben, you get ready to shake your booty. Thank you very much for your yarn. Please do keep in touch, and we'll yarn soon, eh?
Yeah, thanks so much. Yeah, we'll...
Bye-bye. Beautiful yarn. That's Ben Dritz, World Pride First Nation Creative Director. So how deadly is that? Operating for three weeks, and it's celebrating Australia's brilliant and diverse LGBTQIA and plus community in the city, renowned for its diversity, inclusivity, and proud LGBTQIA population, all during the glorious Sydney summer. And on the 5th of March, the Sydney Harbour Bridge will be closed from 7 a.m. till about 10 a.m. So if if you want to walk across the bridge and celebrate on the bridge, if you're in Sydney at that time, it's worth going down just for that. Have you seen Yana Strong? Add to the conversation here. National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Yana with the bully one here. Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Recurry. Steering your ship. It is your ship, National Talk Black. And I'm just here behind the microphone having good yarns ready for your yarns here on the daily program, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text the brother, 045-714-0550. And don't forget our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. Facebook, big face, Sookbook. Have you seen Yana Strong, you mob, too deadly?
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
I don't wanna hang around in this old town anymore. I've seen good things grow, but they just keep on falling down. I can't keep up with the pace, lifestyle's changing too fast. We gotta keep up with computers. That's now running our lives. And the politicians, that's always changing the rules. Whenever you get time, old friend, let's talk about the good old days.
Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your
big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day. What I got, got admitted. Now go on, Leah.
Yeah, welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? 1-800-422-416. We're going to catch up a yarn with Chappie on the line. Chappie, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Trev. How you doing, brother?
Yeah, good, bro. Before we start, let the mob know. Who your mob were you from, Chappie?
Yeah, Chappie from Waka Waka on my dad's side in Woolly Woolly. And my mum's side, Pitchera Bidjera, Yuri Kari, and also I took track in my... Mum's father's down, and but 1862 this year, still tracking family there.
Okay, brother. Well, beautiful. Well, enjoy that journey, brother. And where are you based at the moment, bro? Where are you living?
Sherberg, bro.
Sherberg. All right, my brother. Good, good, good. What do you want to yarn about, Chappie?
How about this voice thing, what's happening, bro?
Voice to Parliament?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's your thoughts?
Should have been automatically... Decades and decades ago, yeah, brother.
Exactly, brother. Exactly. Johnny come lately, you know. If you're black, stay back. Nothing happens fast for our people in this country, does it?
No, you know, it should have been things established decades and decades ago. But all that fear and don't want to lose power and control sort of thing, you know.
Well, even having a First Nation person looking after our portfolio, Uncle Ken White was the first black person to do that, and they had non-Indigenous person even sitting in that seat, you know? And so that just shows, like I said, slow process for all black people in this country, in all facets.
Yeah, it's sad that they don't want to talk together, work together, and work together, bro, you know? I'm sure the majority of our country wants to do that, but
exactly.
Some don't want to, you know, fearful and all that.
Fearful, yeah. Exactly. We are all Australians. Yeah. We are one, are we not, you know?
Yeah.
And admitting to the fact that the land was stolen. If you don't want to give us the financial payback on that, then give us a platform to go forward, but together.
Yeah, and in a respectful way. As fellow human beings, eh, bro, you know? Yeah. Common sense, eh, stuff, you know?
Yeah, my brother. Now, we're on the same page, brother, and most black people are, you know? Some are against the First Nation, voice to Parliament. If not voice to Parliament, then what? And if not now, then when? If not you, then who, so to speak? We need to have something happening.
Yep. And it's shown the rest of the world.
Exactly.
Now and for the generations to come that... Oh, no, we don't want black people to have a say with us or how to run the country or where problems are, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Sad, right, you know?
Exactly. And, Chappie, you know, Australia is the only first world country that does not have a treaty with its First Nation people. I mean, look at that. And here we are, 2023.
Yeah, also in the lot of the services, they want... allow a black person to be in charge of it, like the army, the police, et cetera, et cetera, you know, different stuff was set up.
And okay, yep.
Sad, you know, mistrust and all that, you know, and just don't want to work together, bro, for the betterment of our country and for our future.
Exactly, my brother. Well, thank you for your yarn and putting it across the airwaves, your opinion. But a lot of people will be singing your praises and virtually agreeing with you, my brother. So thank you for the call, Chappie.
Yeah, you have a good day too, brother. And big shout out to everyone. Keep your head up, stay strong, and stay beautiful. Keep smiling, eh?
Too dearly, my brother. You take care, brother. See you, Chappie.
Yeah, all right.
Beautiful, deadly yarn there. Chappie from Sherberg, having his say, talking about voice to Parliament. It should have happened years ago, and so there it is. We all feel the same way. National Talk Black, one-hour program, coming to the end here very soon. About 40 minutes left on program. Give us a call, have your say, 1-800-422-416. Otherwise, text a brother, 0457140550, and our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. Big shout to the First Nation radio station across this beautiful country of ours, Deadly Black Network, and we keep our music strong, our yarns strong, and a lot of stuff that we talk about and our music's not played on mainstream radio, but that's fine. We've got our platform here, so do utilise it, you mob, and yarn up strong here. I'm going to catch up a yarn with Kelly Richardson, registered nutritionist. Double the motivation, double the results. How partnering up can enhance your weight loss resolutions. We all need that, don't we? So I'll just check and see if sister's on the line there. Hello, Kelly.
Hello, Trevor. How are you?
I'm well. Kelly, where are you based?
I'm based in Sydney.
In Sydney. All right, fantastic. Yeah. Thank you very much for coming to the program. So we're talking double the motivation, double the results, how partnering up can enhance your weight loss resolution. When you've got a partner as such, you're committed and you don't want to let them down, so you turning up is fantastic as a team effort, yeah?
Absolutely, yep. Misery loves company, and if you've got someone else coming along for the ride and helping you out and there to encourage you, you are much more likely to get your results.
All right, fantastic. And so talk about, you're registered nutritionist, the activity in the physical sense, but also what you're eating. That's very important too, isn't it?
Yeah, 90% of it, Trevor, comes down to what you're putting in your mouth and your diet.
Yeah.
Absolutely, activity plays a part. I mean, your energy that you're expending contributes, obviously, towards that total energy throughout the day. But really, 90% of it comes down to what you're eating. And if you can look after your diet, you're going to find it much easier to get your New Year's resolutions and your results.
Can you give us some tips regarding eating? I know that some family members eat 5 meals a day, but only on a hand-sized plate.
Yeah, that's good. And I think whatever works for the person, because everyone is different. People like to eat different things and at different sites, you know, different times of the day. But my biggest tips when it comes to diet is look at what you're doing at the moment. Mm. So keep a food diary for a day or two. Look at what you're doing. Simplify it where possible, but look at just improving that. So rather than completely reinventing the wheel, coming up with a brand new diet, having to buy all these different ingredients, look at what you're currently doing. So if you're currently having spaghetti bolognese every Wednesday, look at your portion size. Can you change, you know, reduce the amount of parmesan you're using? Mm. Can you reduce the amount of oil you're using? Can you switch to a leaner meat? Can you add in some lentils?
Okay.
You know, so rather than reinventing the wheel and making it really difficult, let's just simplify things and reduce portion sizes.
And it's a step-by-step process. And so we're not talking about changing your whole diet, but little things that you can do inch by inch, it's a cinch.
Absolutely, yeah. It's not about reinventing the whole thing. It's just the little changes that you can make along the way, a little improvement in breakfast, a little improvement in your sleeping habit, a little improvement in your exercise, and all of that is going to come forward and make such a big difference and help in your resolutions.
Sure. It's fundamental things like walking to the shopping centre instead of taking the escalator, take the stairs.
Yeah, absolutely. Like parking a little bit further away.
From the shopping centre?
You know, doing an extra 5 minutes in the garden, walking to go and get your coffee instead of stopping right outside. But yeah, any little difference, any 10 to 15% difference could make a 10 to 15% reduction in your weight if weight loss is something that you're after for the new year.
Sure, exactly. And we talk about New Year resolution. We don't have to wait till January 1. Anybody at any moment can start a new future, hey?
Oh, I agree. Being a nutritionist, I get people coming to me all throughout the year, but normally February is very busy. May after Easter is very busy. And September, October is pretty huge for me.
After we pig out.
Yeah, pretty much after all of the big holidays. But yeah, I mean, yes, it's great, I think, to set resolutions that you can work towards throughout the whole year.
Yes.
But honestly, you can pick up and start a new program and set new goals at any point of the year, in any month. It doesn't have to be so fast. It doesn't have to be January 1st. It can be whenever.
And having a partner, which is fantastic, it's inspirational. So sometimes you're rowing the boat by yourself. It can get hard. January 1, here it is, I'm losing weight. And midday, your rear end's hanging outside the refrigerator. So you weren't going to chew on today.
Yep. And that's why it really does make such a difference to have someone support you. And that could be, it could be a registered nutritionist like myself. It could be a one-to-one consultant. It could be a friend or family member. But it just needs to be someone that's on the same page as you. Someone that isn't going to say, hey, yeah, have that Tim Tam. It's going to be that person that says, look, this is what your goal was. This is what you asked me to do. I'd love to support and keep helping you. Let me offer that help. Let me offer that guidance. But yeah, having someone in your corner makes such a difference, because it's so hard doing it by yourself.
Kelly, the other thing that comes to mind is comparison. Don't look at other people. Just focus on you. And no one knows you better than you. And it's about discipline and about looking for the new you and working towards that new you. Is that right?
Absolutely. And I don't love the word discipline personally. I love the word consistency, because I find when the word discipline comes in, I find people then often beat themselves.
I'm swearing at you, am I?
But it's I don't hate the word. I just don't love it. I like, you know,
choice of words.
Yeah, consistency, repetition, all of those things make such a big difference. And it's just, yeah, it's just repeat, try and again, and just practicing that positive self-talk. And definitely, as you said, looking at you and your goals rather than those around you, because everyone's different. Everyone's in different circumstances, different finances, different family. You do you.
And the other thing is, sometimes you can't notice yourself, but 2 weeks, 3 weeks later, you run into family and they go, hey, you're looking good. Take it on board. It's working. You know what I mean?
I think it's something like, you notice the first kilo, but a family or friends will notice, you know, the first 5 kilos.
And
unfortunately, the more you have to lose as well, the longer it can take for someone to actually notice that weight loss.
Sure.
But I think that's, for me, that's why I look at other measurements. So whilst the weight on the scales is important, I like to go on how that person feels, how that person's sleeping, how their digestive system is, so that it's not a, you know, just, oh, the scales haven't gone down, but I'm feeling better. I've done 2 poos today. That's great. So focusing on everything rather than just on that number on the scale, which really is just a number.
Darling, we're going to chew on these words. Thank you very much for the yarn.
No worries.
And we'll talk soon. And all the best to you, Kelly. You take care, eh, sister?
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Beautiful yarn. That's Kelly Richardson, a registered nutritionist. Double the motivation, double the results. How partnering up can enhance your weight loss resolution. So, yeah, find a fellow member out there, a family member or friend who wants to do the same thing, and teamwork makes a dream work. And a partnering, you're sort of committed and you don't want to let them down, but they also motivate each other. So that's a good way of doing it. As I say, too much couch, not enough ouch. So it's being active, but also very important what you eat. And that's 90%, as the registered nutritionist, Kelly Richardson, said. A lot of it is the intake. So while you're watching what you're eating, but just keep moving. Park a little bit away from the shopping centre or the stadium and enjoy that walk. Take the stairs instead of the escalator and the elevator, that sort of stuff. So bit by bit, inch by inch, it's a cinch. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong here on National Talk Back. 6 minutes left on the program. Too deadly. Want to go back? That's Blackfire here in your daily program, National Talk Black. We got Selwyn on the line. Very good morning, my brother.
Good morning, brother. Yeah, Tony, I'm going to comment on Chappie's call, brother. Yeah. He was a regular contributor, brother. Hello there, brother Chappie, and happy new year for you, brother. brother, you know that Brexit standoff over there?
Yes.
Because Ireland is has been longer illegally occupied by the English, longer than us. Mm. And that Mexican standoff was because the EEC, for the first time, they recognized Irish sovereignty. And I think Ireland, Scotland and Wales, I think they have a voice in Parliament. Mm. Ireland already had a voice in Parliament, but because of that EEC and that Mexican standoff, the first time Ireland's sovereignty was recognized. And the King George, the Prince of Wales, I think he got egg colored at him at Wales, brother. Thank you, brother. Thank you very much, brother.
Thank you, my brother. Too deadly. That's someone having his say here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Murray going to sign off for today's program. Thank you very much for your company, your mob. I'm back in the hot seat again tomorrow. In actual fact, shut up. I'm back in the hot seat on Monday. Shut up. It is weekend. You mob, thank you for your company. The first week for 2023. Great to be back in the hot seat again. And thank you for your company, your mob. It is your program, National Talk Black, and Murray just steering the ship and loves steering the ship. And a big shout out to all our First Nation people and to all peoples having a deadly day and tackled 2023, the first week for us here. But have your goals and dreams out there in front of you. And if you live for the dream will help you live, you mob. Too deadly. Yarn up strong, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. Trendy Trev signing off, National Talk Black. News coming up very soon with NERS, National Digital Radio Service. And big shout out to the NERS team. Too deadly.